Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I'm absolutely thrilled that you're here. And I'm also thrilled to have Valerie Huad here from her company is called Do Well. And she's a trauma-informed decluttering expert. So I'm excited to learn more about that. So welcome to the show, Valerie. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I'm so happy to be here.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about what is a trauma-informed decluttering expert and how did you become one?
My journey is really unique, but at the same time, there's a lot of people feeling like this. So let's get back multiple years when I was a toddler. I was unfortunately abused by some individual, and that created a complete shift of all my life. So when I arrived in my 20s, I wasn't able to go to school. I wasn't able to work. I had to stop almost everything that I was doing because I was having to deal with my trauma. Unfortunately, I tried to reach doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and their answer was, "Mom, you will just get worse with the year. So swallow it. It's like that." That was like a punch in the belly, you know? It was kind of, all the medical system is kind of abandoning me. So I start a journey where I start going to retreat, different seminar and things like that. I try hypnotherapy, different alternative medicine, EMDR, lots of things. But what was the turning point in my life is really when at some point my husband, we needed to move for his job. And the movers came home. When they look at the stuff in the house, they say, "Ma'am, we cannot move you. You need to let go of at least half your belongings." That was like, we had 3 months to do that. We were not able to achieve it in 3 months. And the house was not full of piles of clutter. It's just that every room were really packed and we had a storage room that was really dense packed and things like that, you know? But at the same time, I was hoarding food. Like I maybe had 20 pounds of flour, 50 packs of pasta, and I don't know how many pans, but it was fitting in my pantry. There were nothing on the countertop. It was fitting. So it's just those kind of things, you know? So my husband has to leave first and I stay behind with two toddlers. And the night he left, I completely broke down. I broke in tears and I hadn't cried for many, many years. You know, with the trauma, I got this and I'm strong and I'm a survivor. And the thing is, I was asking myself, will I be able to reunite my family together? Am I a hoarder? What will I do with all those stuff as their stuff that are still good in there? It was not garbage. So after a little while in that mindset, I decided that I will change my life because I don't want to get deeper than I was. So the following day, I started to declutter. And at the beginning, I started to declutter 20 minutes a day. So at the beginning, it was so hard. I was decluttering, going to drive the things and drop them at the thrift store. And on my way back home, there were garage sale posts. And the temptation was so hard to go and grab new treasure to bring back home. So it was kind of a roller coaster. But after a couple months doing that, I realized that I was not needing a nap in the afternoon anymore. I was more energetic. I was smiling more. My flashback reduced. My nightmare almost disappeared. So all my symptoms of my mental health were improving. As I let go of the stuff, I let go of the trauma. And then we finally, the movers came back. We were able to reunite the family. That's a happy ending. And now our house is really like in a state where I can invite anybody when I want. But the thing is, I don't want other military family feeling like that. There's already the posting when the husband is away or the wife. So not for a move, you know? So I started a business that was really for home staging. And I quickly realized that the problem wasn't placing a blanket or a cushion here and there. It was more about what do we do with the stuff? So I decided to do my training in professional organizing. And from there, I cannot say 100%, but let's say 98% of my clients were opening themselves and talking to me about their trauma when I was in there decluttering with them. And I have a background in occupational therapy and in first aid, paramedic, first responder. So I was well aware about trauma, plus all what I did to be able to feel better. As I work, we kind of contacted lots of researcher and searcher and psychiatrists, and we realized there's really a link between the trauma and the clutter. So from that point, we developed a method, thinking back about how I did it and how it was working with the client. And at the beginning, it's a four-step method that we call the Do Well method. But at the beginning, we weren't in the order that they are now. And the clutter was doing like a pendulum. You let go of it, it come back. You let go of it, it come back, until we fix the step, the fourth step in a specific order. Now that we are stopping that pendulum of clutter. So people are able to declutter when they work with us, and then they are able to maintain afterwards. And that's just one benefit. I'm just talking about the space. But the benefit on their mental health, the transformation they have is just wonderful to witness. It's a privilege to be able to witness their transformation. People that arrive, they are depressed, anxious. Some people are business owner or entrepreneur. Some are retired as well or professionals. And they kind of feel that they fail in life because they are not able to do their job and doing maintaining the house as well. And the thing is, most of them has a desk that is completely overwhelmed. And I'm not talking about the desktop with tons of files and the number of picture or unopened email in the inbox. The thing is that clutter that's around them, it's what that's keep them blocked. That's what keep them from growing in life. So we really help them, and at the end, they're able to either grow their business, get a new position in their career, or they have peace of mind. They're able to get into their office, or they're getting at home after work, and it's not like, oh my God, I need to do this and this and this and that. No, they can meal, they can eat a healthy meal and do crafting or board game or going for a walk, whatever they want, or playing music in the evening,
Yeah,
Some are
something
doing
fun.
quilting, something fun that they can do.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, Valerie, what a story. It's so wonderful that people like you can come out of this situation and turn around and help others. That's amazing. And I totally agree. And I it's taken me a long time to learn this too, is that, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to manage. And
Correct.
the more space that you have, and I totally 100% agree, the more space you have in your environment, the more space you have like in your head and in your body. And it's like, we're exposed to so many, marketing messages, and oh, you need this little gadget and you need that little gadget, and you end up with thousands of gadgets that you don't actually need and you probably don't use.
I
So
agree.
do you start the process by decluttering, physically decluttering, and then do
No.
the emotions come out of that? No? Okay.
No, it's completely the opposite. So the dwell method is really specific. It works for everybody, but specifically people that have had trauma or bad experience in their past, that's even more adapted to them. If I compare to Marie Kondo method that has to touch everything, for example. The thing is, when someone had a trauma, their brain shift the way it works. People become in that fight or flight mode, and their body produce more cortisol, the stress hormone, than other individual. From there, it accumulates day after day, months after months, years after years, decades after decades. But when we have too much cortisol, it slows down the frontal lobe of our brain. And this is where are what we call the executive functions. So the executive function are like planning, organizing, sorting, making decision, focus, working memory. All of these are skills that are needed to maintain a home tidy. So if you ask someone that these executive function are overwhelmed by cortisol and they are slowed down, or if you have someone with neurodivergence, for example, what will happen is they will block. It's like, when you try to push a car that has no gas in it, if you put the brake on, but you're not, the car won't move because the brake is on. So it's a little bit the same. The brake is put by the cortisol on the executive function. So even if they try to declutter, they want to, they will buy books, they will buy different programs, they're just not able to. But it's not visual like someone that has a broken arm, It's in our body, but it's physiological. So as it's a problem with the cortisol more than the stuff, we need to start by reducing the stress. That's the very first step where we start. Because asking them to sort things when the sorting function doesn't work, it's losing time, energy, and make them feel bad and a failure. And that's not the case. These people are not lazy. These people are overwhelmed with cortisol. They don't procrastinate on purpose to be rushed at the end of something. No, their executive function are slowed down by the cortisol. So
Wow.
we start with the stress. After stress, it's mindset, time, and we finish by the space. And we really do that in that order, stress, mind, time, space, because when they have all the strategy they learn in the three first steps, the last step is like putting nitro in a race car, It will go. The decluttering the space will go really easily.
That's so interesting because it's typically you hear it, I feel like you hear it the other way around. Clear
I'm
your
unique
space,
in
clear
what
your
I do.
mind.
Yep.
We're the opposite. So let's say someone's listening today and they're saying, I can totally relate to what Valerie does and why she does it. And I feel like that's kind of me. What would you say would be one tip or kind of like their first step towards reducing that stress, if that's step one?
The first step is start breathing and take one things at a time. We often try to do everything at the same time, but we're tackling too much. So really remember baby step, but each baby step are working. And it is so important to celebrate after achieving one.
Ooh, you got a bunch of tips there. So make sure that you breathe. And it's really funny. I don't think people pay attention to what's happening in their body when they're doing something, whether it's being on a podcast. Some people get all stressed out and they don't realize that they're all, knotted up, or maybe they're working on something that makes them uncomfortable, or they're not sure what their next move is. It's such a great idea is the wrong word. It's such a great smart tip to say just stop and breathe and kind of relax your body. Then the other thing that you said was take one thing at a time. And I know we've all heard that before, but it's very difficult to do that when we've got all these things, piling up and coming at us. But you're so right, because sometimes we're trying to do this and this and this at the same time, so we're not focusing on any of them because your mind's constantly trying to go from one to the other. And
Your
there's
mind is in the transition.
always, I was just going to say that. Yeah. And it's always in the transition time that you've got to now go back and say, oh, now where did I leave off? Where did I leave off? Where was my head? Where are my thoughts? So, excellent. One, so breathe one thing at a time. And what was the last one?
Celebrate each step. Because when you celebrate, you have more chance, it will be easier to start the next step.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd like to think that people can celebrate really small things. Like today, I had one less cup of coffee, or I had one more glass of water, or I remembered to breathe. you know, I don't think we give ourselves credit for those small steps. And, you know, they always say those small steps are the ones that combine to make the big steps. And so you are making forward movement, but we're such a society that loves fast changes and, you know, and big explosion
Speed.
Things. So what would you recommend to somebody who has trouble feeling the feels for the very small steps?
Somebody that has trouble feeling the small steps. You
Feeling
know,
good about the small steps, you know, instead of, because, you know, it's hard sometimes to just keep those small steps going.
Yes, I think what is important is to understand the power of celebration. Because when you celebrate, you generate good hormones in your brain. And that makes you feel good. Even if at the beginning you don't feel that you want to celebrate and you just do a big kiss, like the hockey player in the playoff are doing, you know, when they go, there's something brilliant in that because there's the movement. You cannot say yes without smiling. And you use word that is positive. So all of that brings some chemical, really good, some endorphins and all of this in your brain. So the next small step will be easier to start because your brain will know, oh, I know I receive that when I do this. It's really to celebrate. Celebrate is key.
Yeah, I think we forget that that there are hormones that are released and good feelings that are released when you do something. There was a book that was about like a power stance. I can't remember the name of it, but it was, you know, how,
Yeah.
you know, just stand like a superhero just for a second and see how it kind of changes your state and
Yeah.
see if you can kind of make that last. Or like you said, something as simple as a smile.
Yeah.
This is so great. Okay. So let's see. So tell me a little bit about, we know kind of the type of people you work with, that they have had a trauma, that they have, you know, issues with too much stuff in their head and in their physical environment. Is there anything else that is same about them? Like, are they of a certain age? Are they in a certain part time in their life?
I will say they are high achiever. They are people that want to achieve big things in their life. You know, they are people that feel perfectionist. They are mostly women. There's some men as well in the program. And I will say around age 45 plus, we still have some younger than that. And I'm so happy for them to be able to make that growth at that age. But most of them are 45 plus.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that they're high achievers? Because we have a perception of people who are hoarders is probably an extreme, but who have lots of stuff that they are.
I have so many healthcare professionals, doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists that came into our program, occupational therapists, so many of them, an entrepreneur, real estate agent, pharmacist. Like, they are people that want a career or that want to grow a business, you know. They really want to perform and it's draining them inside to not be able to maintain their home.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So Valerie, if somebody's saying, oh my gosh, she's speaking my language, I need to know more about her and how I can get involved with how she helps people, where is the best place for them to go to find out more information about you?
That's our website, dowellht.com, dowellht.com. That's really the best place. There's a free challenge on there that they can start. And I say free challenge, but it's really some teaching that I explain. I re-explain the link between trauma and clutter and different things like that in it. It's a 3-day challenge. And it really helped them understand the method and understand where, what is the need and what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quite eye-opening for people. So I have one last question for you, Valerie. This is what I ask my guests on the show. And that is, if you had one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
Take one step at a time and feel good about it.
Excellent. Excellent advice. And I think the feel good about it is almost as important as taking the step itself.
It is.
Well, Valerie, this has been amazing and wonderful. And I'm, again, grateful for people out there like you who have been through this. They have the empathy, but they also have the smarts to help other people heal from trauma and clutter in their head and in their mind. So thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.